And here we go, episode 20 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, right here on WGNRadio.com. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye. We're broadcasting live from the WGN Radio studios, ironic, high atop the Tribune Tower here on the 7th floor overlooking the Mag Mile. Happy Thursday to you, sir.
Happy Thursday. 20, I like it. It's like a milestone episode, a monumental episode.
Our relationship's just, it's blooming, it's flourishing into this flower of greatness that only can be consumed in a podcast form on WGNRadio.com and via our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. See, that would have been smooth, but then I screwed up the www. So now I'm a little upset.
You got ahead of yourself.
I got a little cocky. I got a little confident.
I totally agree with you about the way our relationship is going. I think it's off the charts. I think it's
off the chain.
It's actually even intimidating to other people in the business, I hear. That they're so baffled by how good our chemistry is that they don't know how to go about their own shows.
How do they do it? The multi-year contracts have been flattering, but we just kind of want to focus on this right now. And I know there's been some record deals out there for me because I do a little singing on the side.
Yeah.
So, but we want to stay focused on this right now.
It's about communication and it's about pleasing the fans.
That's right. That's right.
We have that written on a wall here.
And those fans can, again, visit us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. You can also visit us via Twitter. He is at Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio. Use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast, which you can get on iTunes. I feel like we don't mention that enough. And
yeah, subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. That helps.
Yes, we love that. And with that hashtag BlackhawksCrazy Twitter, on Twitter, you can submit questions, comments, send in your photos to our Facebook page and or via Twitter. So we like to communicate with the fans a little bit more.
We have some good questions for today's show. People ask really good questions.
Yeah.
Keep us on track here.
It helps keep us on track. And then, you know, we always squeeze them in at the end of the show. That's kind of how we like to wrap up each and every show. So we will get to those later.
Yeah.
We've got an awesome game to talk about that took place last night at the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis. That had a playoff feel between the Blackhawks and the Blues.
Thrilling. Got to see a shootout again. When was the last time you saw a shootout?
It's only been two this year for the Blackhawks.
Holy Lord.
They've only been in two shootouts. Now they're 10-6 in overtime. So, I mean, they've been killing it on 3-on-3, so they haven't gotten to the shootout very often.
Right.
Just twice. They won their first time, they lost this one.
Most teams haven't, right? They're kind of phasing out the shootout.
Well, it's because everybody gets so exhausted on that 3-on-3 if somebody's got to let loose at one point.
I like seeing it, though, because you hadn't seen it in a while. Those are exciting, too.
It was. I mean, it was a good, what, six
three
rounds?
3-on-3 is great. But
was it six rounds yesterday, I think it was?
I think so.
I mean, it was exciting. Panarin got his, I mean, it was the first time he ever took a shootout shot.
Yeah, and not only that, he's had a lot of trouble on a breakaway this year.
Yeah.
That's like the only area Panarin's had trouble this year. But that was a great goal.
The guy's on pace for, what, 30 goals almost?
He has a bright future. I think he has 62 points.
Yeah, I think he's
maybe more than that, actually.
I think he's going to do good. Yeah, I mean, and he was the man who tied it up last night. Buck 17
goal.
Left. And I thought the game was, I'm like, this isn't going to go to overtime. Because it was funny because Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times, who we reference a lot, he's a great follow. I would consider him a friend, too. He's been a frequent guest on shows that I've had.
Would he consider you a friend, though?
Probably not. Okay. He has mentioned a body odor issue that he can't get over. So we just kind of push that. You know, like, we keep a distance.
Is that a real issue?
No.
That was really quick that you came up with it that fast.
No. I mean, you know, some people have mentioned some things. I might have bought some more Axe.
I've only had good experiences with your body odor.
Maybe just a little more Axe body spray. That's all I need. But anyway, Lazarus, he tweeted, the Blackhawks have not lost in regulation after leading after two periods since 2013-2014. That's insane.
Such a long time.
That's insane. And then they tied it up.
They're very good at preserving a lead.
Then they tied it up. Yeah. I swear it couldn't have been more than 2 minutes after he tweeted that.
Yeah.
And then Panarin ties it up, going to the shootout. Or they go into overtime, then the shootout. It was very exciting.
Is that record not losing in regulation?
In regulation. Yeah, okay. They have not lost in regulation after leading after two periods since 2013.
So then they still haven't. So.
It was, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so it ended up working out. So it's kind of crazy. I didn't think they were going to come back.
I didn't, but you saw that great setup by Taves, and that kind of
it was beautiful.
Panarin falling to his knee with a slap shot in front of the net. That was a thrilling goal. I think there was a minute 17 left when he hit that shot.
Minute 17 left, yep. Six goals in the last eight games for Panarin. Andrew Ladd looking good. He's got four points in five games.
Just stuffing goalies and nets.
I thought that was a goal at first. Really quick.
I knew he pushed him in.
Initially. And then you see the replay and you're like, okay, there's no shot.
As I said, that counts about half the time when you're playing NHL 16 on Xbox, that sometimes they let you push the goalie in the game. Sometimes you can't.
So it was a playoff type atmosphere yesterday. And, you know, I remember in the post game show on television. Now, of course, you should have been listening on WGN radio to John Weideman and Troy Murray, but I happen to have the TV on after the game. I do usually tune into the post game with Judd Surratt, by the way. They were talking about the greatest rivalries in all of hockey.
Yeah.
And it was a high percentage for the Blues and Blackhawks. Granted, you got a lot of Hawks and Blues fans that are watching that post
game. Right, that game, yeah.
After a Hawks Blues game.
Yeah, the votes really ran away for that.
That was insane. I was just like, okay. But it is.
They had a huge lead.
Think about it. Where does that rank up there? I mean, because, you know, to me, it's still going to be the Blackhawks in Detroit, at least here locally, because that's what I grew up with. Now this younger generation, that's not going to be the case, obviously, because you only see them twice a year now because they're in the Eastern Conference. But I that has to be their biggest rival, right?
I think so still, but who knows, another 5-10 years, the Wings, you know, they're not moving back in the Western Conference, so
no, that's
so that Blues rivalry is only going to heat up.
Oh, that's
and
what I
you
mean.
You have the Winter Classic now.
Yeah.
Next year, so.
Yeah, that was announced yesterday. The Blues and the Blackhawks are going to be playing in the Stadium Series game outdoors. Blackhawks have struggled outdoors. They're 1-3 in those Stadium Series games, but that's going to be played at Busch Stadium.
Busch Stadium's awesome.
It really is.
I happened to see the World Series clincher there in 07, I believe.
Really?
Yes.
You were there?
I was there.
You a fan of Busch?
The president of the stadium.
The beer?
It's all right, I guess.
Oh, because that's the typical college beer. You can get a 30-pack.
I was going to say, that's rush beer. When you're fraternities.
Get a 30-pack for 11 bucks.
To make guys rush.
I still think Busch is actually pretty good.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Ugh. Only thing worse than Busch is
your horizons,
Keystone Light is the only thing that's
worse.
Well,
that's just drinking water, essentially. At least Busch has got a little bit of flavor.
Yeah. Yeah,
give it a shot. Give it a shot again. It's good
Maybe
stuff.
Maybe they'll sponsor us with all this talk.
They could use the help. I can't imagine that there's too much Busch being sold, but who knows, down in the South, I bet you in Alabama or Mississippi.
They'll sell a lot at the Winter Classic.
I bet. Yeah, it's. I still think it's pretty good. That's just me, though. But
you're entitled to your
opinion. One of the biggest moments yesterday in the game from last night, looking back to that, was the Ryan Reeves hit on Ehrhoff. And he ends up getting a charging major, gets ejected. Eddie Olczyk and Kenny Albert and Mike Milbury and Brett Jones, all the television commentators, they did not agree with the call, and I tended to agree with them. I didn't think it deserved a major. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
He was I didn't think he was going after the head like some people. Because on Twitter, people were kind of split, and you were kind of on the other side. You kind of thought he did deserve.
Yeah, I thought I'm okay with him not getting a suspension, and I think he's lucky that he didn't get a suspension because of his history. But I think that the way that play wound up in the corners, that the puck was kind of coming towards Reeves, and he decided to not only play Ehrhoff's body, but kind of go out of his way to put a high hit on him. And I thought that his shoulder, maybe the preliminary point of contact was the chest, but I think he did get his head a little bit in the middle of the hit. You know, obviously there's ones that have been way worse and guys have gotten suspended, but I do think that there's some contact. Yeah, I thought it was dangerous, and I mean, it was a big hit. You saw Ehrhoff go down.
But you don't think, like you just mentioned a little bit ago, that there's not going to be any supplemental discipline.
I'm okay with that. But I think charging and the game misconduct was the right call.
Yeah, it was just one of those on the border type of calls. And I'm going to tend to agree to disagree on this one. But it's just me. At least he didn't cross-check a ref in the back.
So true.
You got that
true.
Going for you.
True.
So
it's
he's
way
not
worse.
He's not Weidman over there, so what a piece of crap that guy. I remember we've talked about that. I know that was it's a bad week now. But that was one of those plays that really bothered
they
me.
They mentioned him on the broadcast last night at the Hawks Blues game at intermission.
Did.
That
mm-hmm.
He's already served 18 of the 20 game suspension, and they're still wondering if there's going to be a break in the appeal, but I mean, it's already been 18 games. I think they're taking their time with the appeal. The league is.
Yeah. No kidding.
A hit like that.
No kidding. The Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as the Red Eyes. So you got the best power play in the game, or one of the best in the Hawks, and then one of the best penalty kills in the game in the Blues. Something had to give. Blackhawks penalty kill did not look good yesterday. And I looked it up today. They're 24th in penalty kill percentage.
Sure.
It's not good.
It wasn't
not good.
The penalty kill wasn't great last night.
I mean, three penalties. What was it? Three penalties in the third period?
Three in the third period. And the Blues score, obviously, on two of those. And
Troy Brouwer.
Ugh. He's a Hawks killer now. He used to be on the Hawks, won a cup with them in 2010, and he just kills the Hawks when he plays them. But I think I'm going to get into it a little later because one of the fans asked about it, but I think these too many men breaking.
That's when you shut off your phone and your ESPN SportsCenter app.
Off? Yeah, it is.
Just so you know, the Jimmy Butler, you know, he's going to resume workouts after visiting Dr. James Andrews. So we got that in there on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast.
I just think that they got to stay out of the box with these too many men penalties. It's like every game this season. They take a too many men in the third. They have to tie it up if they want to win.
It was a problem last year.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it's just follow your guy. Just you know who you're supposed to, unless Q tells you you're double shifting or something, know when you're going out on the ice. Keep a track how many guys are out on the ice. These are brainless penalties for the best team in the league. It's a little much. They need to watch these. And I think there was kind of the I think it was Yarmolson with a trip. It was Yarmolson with a hold, and I think Keith with a trip were the other ones.
No.
Those you got to be careful too.
Sticking with the defenseman, TBR did not have a good game yesterday. He just looked a little out of sorts.
I might have missed that, but I'll believe you there. I think he's been okay. He was okay before.
I just think he's had some growing pains. This year there's been some growing pains with him.
Yeah, he looked good early last year out of camp, making the team.
He's a protected guy.
It is. It's rare that he likes a young whippersnapper like that, but
that is very true.
Is it maybe who he's being paired with this season? Was he with Scuderi a little bit even before. And
I wonder how he's doing with the Kings.
From what I see on Twitter, not good.
Not good. No, but I'm not like piling on him or anything.
No.
I just feel like there's been times where I feel like he's out of position a lot.
He didn't look how he looked at the beginning of last season. I'll completely agree with you. And I thought he was played pretty responsibly down a stretch in the cup final last year too, after he came back from the injury. But yeah, I've noticed him out of position, having a rough time a little bit. I do think a guy that he's been paired with a little bit now who's doing great, a lot of people didn't suspect, is Roosevelt. Roosevelt has 3 points in his last two games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Playing really well.
Yeah,
nice offensive touch there.
No question. And it's one of those guys, too, speaking of last year, that you missed. You know, that injury was just...
Oh, that was awful. It was one of the worst hockey injuries I've ever seen.
His
leg almost broke in half.
Like, to me, the worst football injury I ever saw live, because then they showed the replay, was the Willis McGahee knee in the national championship when he was with Miami. That was disgusting. And then I saw that, you know, Roosevelt. I'm queasy with that stuff.
Did you see SNL did a sketch with, they had like the worst football injuries, and it, Pete Davidson was a quarterback, and he got tackled, and as he got tackled, his legs just came off.
Like literally?
Yeah, just came off. And he was in the hospital giving a thumbs up with legs.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Actually, a scary moment, speaking of kind of staying on the injury realm. You know, Taves leaves in the second period. I mean, he returned about, what, like 10 minutes later? It could have been really bad, though, and I know you wanted to get into that. And he ends up, you know, it ends up being a hip flexor. He said it was a little bit sore. His exact quote after the game, didn't feel good at first, but as the game went on, it got better. That's a hockey player. That's a leader. That's what he's going to say. I think it was affecting him.
It looked like it was for at least a while.
And that was a dangerous play.
Yeah, I thought he had a strong third period and overtime after that. They could have used a goal from him and Kane in the shootout. But when the door's open on the bench and you get hit into it, that's never good. He's lucky it's not a head injury, a wrist injury. You know?
Yeah, that could have been
terrible. And I agree with what Edzo said. We were talking about before the show is that, you know, maybe we'll see him implement a rule here where when the puck's in play, that door stays closed or you get a penalty.
Yeah, I think you almost have to. I think that's something that the NHL is going to have to review in the offseason here because somebody is really going to get. Yeah, like you said, yeah, that could have been
nasty. Worse. If they don't change it, it will get worse.
Could have been nasty. One more thing yesterday, and it has to do with just the defense in general. And I know you wrote a great blog the other day on Corey Crawford and his Vezina chances, and you know whether he can get the that's essentially, for those who don't know, it's the MVP the MVP for goalies.
Yeah,
is that trophy. And he had 15 shots on goal in the second period yesterday. I mean, he stopped the ball. He was just, I mean, the defense wasn't in front of him at all. And the fact that they even kept it as close as they did at times, I was kind of surprised. And he's just been lights out this year.
I thought the Hawks had a good start last night. And I wrote that blog after the Detroit game on Sunday. The Hawks won 4-1. Crawford made 33 saves.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
34 shots. And he got a career high in wins that game also with 35. And that's other reporters in the locker room started asking him about his what he thinks of the Vezina and his chances. And Taves said that he has his vote. But just some numbers here for Crawford, why people are talking about this now. He's 35, 16, and 4 now. He had, before the last game, he had the highest save percentage of goalies who played in at least 35 games. So that's not counting guys who just jump out or backups when someone gets hurt. This is guys who played 35 games that are playing a lot this season. His save percentage is 0.929 is the best there. And second most wins in the league behind Holtby's 40 with Crawford's 35. And obviously still a league-leading 7 shutouts. So huge numbers also.
Sounds pretty good
I think
to
he's
me.
Still second in saves, too, to Craig Anderson. Just great numbers. And it's just the way – even last night, they had a good start. But you know, all those dumb penalties in the third, he still kept them in. He got them to overtime. Obviously, Panarin's goal was a big factor. But Crawford really helped them stay in the game last night.
And it's Vezina.
Is it?
Is it Vezina?
I've heard Vezina many times.
Vezina? Is it Vezina?
I think it's Vezina.
See, I'm always screwing up this stuff.
I do too. I think this one. I think I'm right.
I just screw up names in general, outside of sports, just life. I just screw up names all the time. Like I remember, I've asked you like 15 times. Is it Ehrhoff?
I've gotten.
I would never be a good. I'm not a good player.
I still get Rasmussen wrong sometimes. I still say Moosen because they call him Moose. Some of the new guys' names I still screw up.
Well, everybody seems to pronounce hockey names are the toughest thing to pronounce in general.
We have guys from all over. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got people from all over the world.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's funny to actually hear, like, you know, our play by play guys here, John Whiteman and Troy Murray, like before the game where they have their headsets on. Yeah. It's not on the air, but how do you say his name?
I sound like they're doing voice warm ups. Like.
Yeah, well, yeah, voice warm ups. But then they'll ask, you know, especially when they're on the road, you get an engineer from that team that helps you get everything set up, all the equipment. So they'll be like, hey, how do you say this guy's name again? How do you say this guy's name?
Vezina sounds like a low-calorie beer or like a sparkling water.
It kind of
a Vezina.
I'll take a Zima and a Vezina. Yeah. Oh, that's on. Yeah, that's on special. Yeah, we'll take two Vezinas. Thanks.
I think I'm right, but you know, listeners, you guys can let us know.
Yeah, I know. I don't want it to make it sound like we're not experts because we are clearly just hockey savants and experts here. I just always screw that up.
They don't just give these shows to people around here.
You kidding me? A lot of people's knees had to be broken. A lot of bats. A lot of bats to the shins, too, for us to
behind
get this
the scenes
podcast.
Stuff.
That's right. That's right. So one man that did not make it yesterday, and everybody on Wednesday or on Thursday, or I'm sorry, on Tuesday, after morning skate, everybody meets with the media, Marian Hossa, made it sound like he was going to be returning yesterday.
He said he was going to see how he felt at the morning skate, but you see him skating.
Then he was
going to
see how
lines.
He felt, yeah, in the morning skate on Wednesday, and then we find out. I mean, all signs had pointed to him returning last night, and thinking, okay, this is great. You know, if you're a Hawks fan, because they've got the Blues that night, and then they've got Dallas, both games on the road. It's a very, very tight divisional race right now. I mean, you got the Stars and the Blackhawks tied at 88, and just 1 point behind now with their shutout.
Yeah, that was a huge win.
With their shutout win yesterday is the Blues.
Huge win.
So it's like, all right, he's coming back. This is great. And then he was a scratch. So does he play tomorrow? I know that they didn't skate today because they're traveling, so we don't know yet.
Yeah, you got some decent rest today, so maybe he does tomorrow.
Does it concern you at all that they said 2 weeks, he was placed on IR on Valentine's Day, February 14th, for those who don't know. It's going to be close to 3 weeks here now. Is that scary a little bit?
No, it doesn't, because he was skating in practice.
I'd say almost a month.
Skating in practice. He was skating before that, doing some workouts after the Hawks practiced, and he was at the morning skate.
They were just being cautious with him?
Yeah, he said it wasn't a setback. I think he could have gone, but it seems like either if it's himself telling management or the coaches or training staff, they always take things really carefully with Hossa. A little bit older, very valuable guy, you know.
Oh yeah.
So if he's not, even if he doesn't play Friday, I think he's fine, and whatever it is, he's probably at like 90%.
Yeah, and then they've got the Kings coming in on Monday.
Yeah,
too, so
could be a lot like the Blues game, physical, fast. Yeah. Very entertaining.
Who knows? Maybe Scuderi gets in there.
You know, tear things up.
Tear things up a little bit. You never know. Maybe he goes right after Earhoff. Say, hey, man.
Sunrise.
That's right. It's center. Drop the gloves. right off the opener. That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. I make myself laugh. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. I'm Mike Jacobson. He is Scott King. There was the NHL investigation has come to a close on Patrick Kane, their internal investigation into the rape allegations. Obviously, legally, he was absolved
yeah.
of this. And NHL said, hey, we want to do our own internal investigation. They did. And this is the exact statement. I'll actually just read the exact statement here from the National Hockey League. The National Hockey League announced today, this was yesterday, Wednesday, it has completed its independent review of the Patrick Kane matter, the final stage of which included an in-person meeting between Kane and Commissioner Gary Bettman in New York that took place on Monday, March 7th. And based on its review, including the determination made by the Erie County District Attorney not to pursue charges, the NHL has concluded that the allegations made against Kane were unfounded, key there. The league considers the matter closed and will not have further comment. Short, sweet, to the point. Their investigation matched with the Erie County District Attorney, and maybe this is the final
chapter here. Unless Kane and his lawyer have a suit up their sleeves for the accuser, which I have no clue if that's going to happen. But
yeah, no, that's we're not breaking news here.
No, of course not. But I mean,
you never know.
When do you think the NHL actually concluded their investigation? I would guess maybe like 3 months ago.
You think?
Yeah, I would say.
You think if Patrick Kane was just on a record pace or not on a record pace, that maybe they would have revealed this a little bit earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I think they just wanted to, you know, obviously people. Even when it looked like he wasn't in the wrong, people still took this very seriously as the allegations were very serious.
Well, of course,
they didn't want to look like, okay, we looked into it, it's over. So they're just announcing it now.
It does seem like weird timing.
Yeah, he's got the big Sports Illustrated cover. He's legally at least points.
Regionally he was on the, yeah.
He's going to be this week, yeah.
I mean, just strange. But that chapter's done at least for the NHL.
Yes.
So we didn't want to spend too much time on it. Just read their statement. This is what happened. This is, they met, blah, blah, blah. Evidence unfounded. So.
Bop, bop, bop. Yep. That's it.
There you go. Also, too, while you were talking there, I was a little bit distracted because just, again, behind the scenes, how the sausage is made. We are in the studio here, and we have a massive TV.
It's a nice
to my
TV.
Left. Yeah. Now Bernie Sanders is staring at me. I'm not going to get anything into that.
You should have a March Madness party in here.
But we had
just
the big,
invite your friends. Don't tell the brass.
That's right. Big Ten tournament is on, and I believe it's at halftime for Illinois, whoever the heck's playing right now. And Robbie Hummel. Do you remember Robbie Hummel from Purdue?
No.
Well, he's a former player. He had a bunch of injury problems. He went in the NBA, didn't really do anything because of all the injuries. Like, they just had a close-up shot on him that was just way too close, and I felt like he was, like, jumping out at me. It was very distracting. I was just very – I'm like, what the heck?
So
like,
if you sounded far away on our podcast, it's because you were smitten with a gentleman on TV.
Robbie Hummel, he's not a bad-looking man. But it was just like, camera guy, back it up just a little – beep, beep. A little too close
back
there. Kind of unfocused there a little bit. Back on track, Marcus Kruger. Had some news about him. I'm always all over the place.
That's what people like.
No, everybody loves everything about the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. And the show, the podcast, the people, the production. It's just all part of the dream. All part of the dream. So Marcus Kruger achieved a dream. Gets a 3-year contract extension.
Not a bad dream.
Not a bad dream. And that's a lot of security for a guy. He had a 1-year, $1.5 million deal this year, and they extend him 3 years.
Yeah, he had a decent bridge for a guy, a bottom six guy who plays, you know, very strongly on a PK and special teams. But I think it's 3.3 now. Is it 9.5 or 9.75
over
3 years?
Yeah, so the official numbers, and this is according to the Chicago Tribune's Chris Cook, his source, and a lot of other people had these same numbers.
Yeah.
3-year extension goes through the 2018-19 season. It'll pay Kruger $9.25 million, so $3.03 million per season, so a little over 3 per season.
Yeah.
There you go.
You want to keep him. That's a lot.
Eh.
That's a lot for about
your penalty kill at 24.
But he would get it elsewhere is the thing.
He would
get it elsewhere.
And they covet him here. There's no question.
Yeah. No, he does a ton. But it might create problems with roster moving forward as of next year, and someone asked about that. We'll get into that later. But
yeah.
It's you might see things, you know, see some guys go later.
And he's going to be coming back here perhaps by the end of the month is what they revealed earlier. You know, he had the surgery on the wrist, and he's been out for a very long time now. But it was revealed that he could be back at the end of the month. So not, a bad, week,
that,
not a bad week. For Marcus Kruger,
you're getting
healthier. You're signing a contract. Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. So this is the part of the program. It's not really a program. It's a podcast, but
it's a program.
Sure, it's
you
a program.
Program.
It's a program. This part of the program, we go to the King's Keys, which is Scott King, hence King's Keys. We just use his name, add the S on it, and it's his keys to the next couple of games for the Blackhawks, so they can pick up a couple of points in each of those games. Today you just got one key, short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
What do you got?
My one key for today, it's something we saw that was a difference maker last night. It's been a difference maker a little bit too much going back to last year, is just no more preventable penalties. Again, we talked a lot about the too many men. You've seen that called so much since last year, and they have to just pay attention to just follow the guy who's in front of you, listen to your coach.
It's just sloppy.
It's sloppy. It's kind of brainless. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're thinking about something else, a play that was drawn up or who you got to cover, but you can't take that because it was a difference maker last night, and it's been a difference maker in a lot of games. You can't always get a game-time goal against a good team and go on to win.
There you go. King's Keys for this week. Here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. And I agree. I mean, that penalty is the one that just irritates. If you're a fan of the team, you just look at it and you're just like, really?
Why?
That's like jumping off sides in football.
Yes.
Kind of like the thing I look at it. And it's just frustrating. And you're just like, really?
It's always preventable.
It's undisciplined.
Yeah.
It's a discipline issue, and it makes them look undisciplined. For such a talented team, I've said it a million times about how good and deep this team is, but that's why it's frustrating when you see those kind of penalties.
I agree.
Knock those out, kids. Knock those out. Got some questions here from our fans that listen to the podcast, and we thank you for listening to the podcast. And you can enter questions too anytime during the week. Use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy on Twitter. Easier way might even be on Facebook. Do that, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. We've got, what, about 21,000 likes? Almost 22,000?
Almost 22.
Yeah. People like us.
People are following what's going on with us.
They follow us, and we want you to follow us as well. So, first question here, and we just talked about this a little bit. We'll go with Vladimir Kristik. And again, I'm terrible with names, so I apologize if I butchered it. Do we have the defense concerns going into the playoffs?
I don't think so. You talked about TVR a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. I think once in a while he might, you know, still be adjusting to the NHL. I like how Erhoff is putting pucks on net. Roosevelt's been great.
Erhoff's been aggressive.
Yeah.
Really has.
Just aggressive.
He has. No, I mean, like, he.
I agree.
Especially his first. I mean, we're like, first.
He's
time
all up in everyone's grill.
First time he took the ice for the Blackhawks, he had like three shots on goal. It might have even been
four. I think he led the.
Yeah.
He tied with the. I remember his debut. He tied with Taves for the lead in shots on the team.
Like, look at this guy. Ex-king here, huh? Get into it.
And then you have Hjalmarsson's been paired with Keys mostly, and there have been the shutdown pair that have been going against all top lines and doing great. And Seabrook and Gustafsson seem to have panned out for that second pair, and I think you get a lot out of those two guys. I think Gustafsson has adjusted really well. I don't know why he's in a doghouse right now.
I like him.
Yeah,
I like his game.
I like what he's brought. But I think it's, you know, they basically played only two pairs last year.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, and they've done that before. So you got guys that can take some other minutes away, log those up, and still play responsibly. I think the Hawks have that. I think they'll be fine on defense going forward.
This one from Mello Buffon. Before we get out of here, we got two more, and we can squeeze them in here. What's up with getting outshot this season? More of a defensive matter. So, again, kind of a defensive
What's
deal.
Up with that?
What's up with that?
I don't know. They actually outshot the Blues last night. So, it's not, you know, it's not like a ongoing problem. It's happened quite a bit this season, but they've won a lot of those games. It all comes down, obviously, with shooting, it all comes down to quality. I think guys like Panarin and Kane and Taves, you're going to get Hossa back and Ladd's created a lot of traffic in front of that. So, I think you're still getting a lot of quality looks. I think... Yeah, they could always use a few more shots, but I think you're still getting those quality chances. And once they have a full lineup, you can only expect the quality to improve.
And we'll wrap it up here with Jackie Jones. See that? I like that name. Can't really screw that up. Jackie Jones. What is Shaw status for next year?
It's a very good question. Talking about after the Kruger sign-in, because of the Kruger sign-in. It certainly makes things tougher for Shaw. And he was asked about it. He said he's just happy for Kruger. You know, he's a good teammate. But it's tough.
That's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he went crap on him.
No.
It's tough. It doesn't look great for re-signing Shaw next year, but you don't know what the cap's going to be, and you don't know, of all the guys they just got, the new acquisitions, you don't know who they're going to re-sign, if any. I don't think they're going to re-sign any of those guys. You don't know how big of a hometown discount Shaw would take. I know he's a big part of the team. He likes being here. A great locker room guy. He might want to get paid, obviously, more than Kruger did with that deal. So, I mean, it's a guy who's played on the first line for most of the season now. And it does a lot of things, so it's going to be tough. Hopefully, they find a way. It's hard to tell without knowing the cap.
And it's, he's had a good year this year, and I think a lot of people are noticing that. And I mean, if the guy wants to go get paid, I don't blame him.
He might want to.
And
who can blame him?
Can't blame him. Should we put a bow on it?
Put a bow on it. We're done.
Signed, sealed, delivered. It was fun. It's always fun here.
Always fun here.
Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, episode 20.
21 next week.
We gotta go for a beer.
Beer, and we're gonna go buy clothes at Forever 21, like you promised.
Spring's coming around the corner.
Do they sell men's clothes there?
At Forever 21?
Is this a girl's store?
I don't know. It's not like I've never been in there.
Let us know on Twitter. Does Forever 21 sell women's clothing?
Men's clothes. I know they sell women's clothing.
Of course.
But I mean, I know nothing about their spring collection or anything of that nature. So.
Well, we would if they sponsored us, so that's on them. Holla.
So that'll do it right here, episode 20, Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. For Scott King from the Red Eye, I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. We will talk to you next week.